Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek the protection of God from shaitan's rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear AM360 listeners, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to greet you in the Muslim greeting of peace, understanding that real peace and true peace comes only from God. I greet you, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your hosts, Mark Shahid and Quran Shakir. This lab explores the intricacies of what it takes to find one's other half and to find joy, peace, and tranquility inside of the marriage relationship. We invite you to journey with us, co-hosts Mark and Quran, to examine sound approaches to finding a mate and the do's and don'ts and the prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil marriage relationship. If you are listening online, we invite you to join us in the studio at 714-816-4673. And at this time, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to introduce our guest, our host, Mark Shahid.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, sustainer, guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And all that follows in that excellent salute of the Prophet Muhammad, may the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shahid. I'm the host, the facilitator, and also the producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. I want to say that this learning lab is fast approaching 6 years. Started on the sister station of AM 360 Radio, and now has continued here on IWDM Radio. And we want to say, as Quran has already said, that on this learning lab, we teach the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage. And we say this is a sacred institution of Almighty God, Allah. And as always, for those who may be listening in for the first time, we always have an overview from the previous learning lab. And for those of you who may tune in each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio, if perchance you may have missed it last week, we give an overview, and you can always go back into the archives of IWDM Radio and retrieve the learning lab that you missed. We want to say that that the foundation for both this learning lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, is Al-Quran, the Quran, the demonstration of the Quran, the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the prayers and peace be upon the Prophet, and the tafsir, the clear explanation of our beloved leader, Imam Worth Deen Muhammad. And I want to also say that now, presently, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we are using the textbook of our beloved sister, Akila Nafisa Rashid, an excellent publication Muslim marriage makeover, modeling Muhammad the Prophet and making waves in your marriage with a ripple effect. It's a unique publication, as she uses the word ripple in an acronym form, as she identifies each one of the letters in the word ripple as a principle, and she has chapters on it. And I want to just briefly say that if you have that publication, you can easily follow along with Karan and myself here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as we are on the first of the principle aura, which is respect. And then after we complete those chapters under respect, then we'll be moving to the next principle in making waves in your marriage's intimacy. And that's very, very important. There'll be chapters under intimacy. And then we'll move to the first P, and it's not resonating in my mind, it's right now. Karan, help me here. What is it, that P? The first P is what now?
That first P is partnership.
Yeah, partnership.
Yes.
And then the second P, and we'll have chapters on the partnership, and then the second P is
yes.
peace, and then the L is love, and then finally the last letter in Ripple is equality. So there will be chapters under those, and we'll be discussing, usually we try to cover at least one chapter per. I know that tonight we'll be on the 7th, and it's a pretty lengthy chapter in terms of respect for the man and manhood. So before we get into that tonight, as always, we always have an overview, and for that we go to our very distinguished and esteemed, the co-host and co-facilitator of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, our very distinguished and esteemed, Karan Shakir. Assalamu alaikum once again to you, Karan.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's always good to hear your voice and to join you on this Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And to our radio listening audience, again, we welcome you. And last week when we came to the lab, alhamdulillah, we looked at chapter 6, which is respect for womanhood and motherhood. And just as Mark said, we are looking at this first R in Ripple, and that is respect. And so we are on chapter 6, which continues this idea of respect. So last week when we came here to our learning lab, one of the things we mentioned to you, and we want to mention it to you again, is that we now have a new email address, bringittothelab@gmail.com, which is a place where you can send us your queries, your questions, your ideas for what you'd like to see in the learning lab, things you may not want to say on air or things you want to reiterate that's been said on air. Please do feel free to share an email with us. We also shared that we are now on social media, and we have a Facebook page and an IG Instagram page. So you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. And our name or title or handle is Bring It to the Lab. So that's Bring It to the Lab on Facebook and Bring It to the Lab on Instagram. We also, as we were looking at Chapter 6, Respect for Womanhood and Motherhood, this whole idea of the importance of women and mothers was highlighted and celebrated. As we looked at, first we talked about bonding, and how important it is for us to have a bond with the mother. And we went to the acronyms that our wordologist loves to use here. He's wonderful with giving us great acronyms to go with our concept. So we looked at bonding built on natural development in nurturing growth. So this is bonding, that idea of bonding. And so we looked at this natural development that the mother has, and this natural development for her includes an appreciation for the fact that it is the woman that carries the baby and nurtures that baby through her breast milk and through her love and her tenderness. And so there is, as the Quran says, a mystical tie between the parent and the child. And we highlight and celebrate that and look at how Allah has put nourishment in the mother as milk. We looked at Surah 46, Ayat 15, where Allah says, be kind to parents. And in being kind to parents, then we don't even look to say anything that's disrespectful to them. And we talked about the fact that no daycare can be equal to mother care. And we believe that a mother has much to offer. And for that, then the husband or potential husband and the family has to be really appreciative of what the mother brings to that family and give her care as she also gives care to others. And then we have our acronym for care, compassion, appreciation, respect, and endless partnership. We looked at this idea, once we understand the role of the woman, the role of the mother in the family, and how important it is for us to be supportive of the mother, then we said that it's important. If you are looking for a potential mate, this may be one of the things you ask a potential mate is, what is your concept or your value system or your views on breastfeeding and the role of the woman? Would you be supportive as a husband or as a woman? Is that something you want to do? So as a male, you want to know if that's something that a woman is going to do, and as a woman, you want to know if that's something a man would support. And then you want to know, because the book talks about how that woman needs that time when she is nursing to concentrate and dedicate herself to, and not necessarily be worried about making money to take care of the household. So being able to provide for a woman in that position, we talked about the seasons that a woman goes through and to be available and supportive of each of those seasons. And if you are a potential mate looking at someone to be your mate, and we talked about the fact that that time of searching for a mate, we don't do dating in our religion. We do more courtship, which is a process that has an end to it. And that end is, do I marry this person or not? So we know it has a destiny to it. So when you're going through this process of really investigating and checking, we call this the fact-finding time. When you're finding these facts, then you're just discovering, is this somebody I can live with or not? And once you get those facts, then you don't keep just prolonging the process. Once you get enough answers to your questions and what you need to know to be able to see if you can live with someone. Another question that one might ask in this process is, what kind of support would you give to a woman? And that would be for a man, what kind would you give to a woman? And for a woman, what kind would you, kind of support would you want during these seasons of your life? And we also talked about the special season of weaning. What does that look like to you? What does weaning look like? Because that is a different time, because to some, they may say, I want you to wean in 6 months, 12 months, or 24 months, or 30 months, as the Quran identifies. Then you want to know where that person stands with that. But look at the fact that when you are searching for a mate, and you're asking these questions and you're doing your fact finding, that you're asking about the needs of for yourself and looking at that person on various levels. So you ask a question and you listen for the response, and you listen verbally as well as observing physically. What do you see them doing? Do they live out what they have said verbally that they do? Brother Mark said that there is a premarital questionnaire that if you're interested in receiving that, you can go ahead and email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com, and we'll try to respond to you there. We also had in that, he says that premarital questionnaire
has 9 categories or topics to discuss for courting. And if you're looking for a mate, then these are 9 areas that you can look in to search for a mate. There's a question for marital relations, questions to discuss, how do I live or search for my mate? So it's on 2 levels that those questions will work for you. And we talked about the fact that in courtship, never assume anything. You don't try to speculate. You get the answers. You go in and look and see and get what you're looking for. 13 times Allah mentions this idea of guidance for the mu'min, the believer. And we look for that in our book. So this chapter on womanhood and motherhood was a wonderful opportunity for us to really look at the various opportunities that we have to support women as we go forward. And so we look at women being more than just those who give birth and have children, but women as intellectuals as well as women as mothers. And we know that we have the hadith that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. And so we celebrate her, we honor her, we respect her, we give her great value in our religion and in our families because of what she brings. And we talked about the fact that your body has rights over you. So as women, we have to be protective of our bodies. And as men, we also protect too. So if a woman isn't that respectful of her body, then you show her that respect so that she, inshallah, will grow into that respect. And we talked about several ayahs where Allah highlights the value of motherhood and the work of breastfeeding. He even talks about it in the process of getting a divorce, what you need to be mindful of as far as breastfeeding goes. So we talked about the fact that breastfeeding is very important to the woman herself, and so much so that Allah mentions it in divorce even. So when you are leaving or exiting a relationship, then there has to be attention paid to breastfeeding again. And we mentioned that there are those who may unintentionally oppress women and wives and mothers. And unfortunately, it happens frequently in families today, which is why we must reflect upon the guidance and the language of Allah and of our leadership to advance ourselves so that we are not those who fall into that trap and that condition. So women are to be respected as mothers. Being a mother is not to be confused or equated with the role of a subservient being or one who has to serve someone. But we have to elevate the thinking here. And then we said that the Arabic root word for male leaders is imam, and the Arabic root word for mother is and the Arabic root word for community is ummah. And all of them come from the same place, the same root here. The ummah, the and the imam come from the same root word, which is very important for us to look at when we talk about women. And so the husband must naturally have the love of a mother for those he intends to lead, and that is important as we value the woman and mother, womanhood and motherhood. And with that said, Brother Mark, I turn it over to you as we prepare for chapter 7.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I want to say takbir, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. The praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. You know, excellent, excellent, very comprehensive overview that you gave, Quran Shakir. Just want to just make one addendum here is when we talk about the word care, as Quran said, that we will wind up with the E in terms of endless love, but in the courtship for the woman, she should realize and see, be able to realize words that have in an I-Z-E. It is a play on the word eyes. She should have real eyes to be able to recognize the compassion, the appreciation, you know. And so when we look in the Quran, Allah says that for the right mate, he would put love and compassion, love and compassion, love and mercy. Why so? Because there is no Mr. Perfect, there's no Mrs. Perfect. So when Allah says he would put it into the hearts, into the motivation of those two people that's coming together, this is a prerequisite by way of the Quran that Allah is infusing that in the hearts of those two so that they will be able to forgive each other for any mistakes, any errors, shortcomings, sins, or what shortcomings they may have. This is very, very important. So in constructing this acronym, Allah guided me to see that compassion is needed and necessary. And this should be realized in the Quraysh face, not only for women, but but also for men. And appreciation, that is how you are valued. And so since we were talking last week in regards to the women in terms of having the right respect, the honor, and all, and the dignity that Almighty God Allah has given to her and her role and responsibility, it has to be recognized by men that we have to appreciate, and appreciation is value. And then that also that R represents respect. You know, we know what the queen of the queen of soul, Aretha Franklin, would say, find out what R-E-S-P-E-C-T means to me. And even just as a footnote that I use the acronym for respect, is a relationship evolved, showing patience, ethics, communication, and thoughtfulness. So this is very important. Once again, a relationship evolved, showing patience, ethics, communications, and thoughtfulness. This is the type of respect you want to actually see in the courtship, and then obviously it want to be more intensified in the partnership. And so the last letter there is it should be experience and slash evident. So experience and evident in the courtship, and even more intensified and recognized in the partnership. And that would lead to, as Quran said, endless love. So just want to just add that to the overview, and excellent, very substantive overview, as always, Quran Shakir, that you give here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And so we want to say to our radio listening audience that this is your learning lab. Quran and I want to remind you, this is your learning lab. And so, as you say, you know, now we have these other outlets where you can contact us, bring it to the lab. We would hope that you will utilize the email address, the Facebook, Instagram, and all in terms of contacting us with any questions that you may have. Sometimes people are a little shy. They don't want to press 1, come into the queue. Now you have another means in terms of contacting Quran and myself. As you also mentioned, the premarital questionnaire, this is a very, very valuable document, which there have been others that made contribution. Allah blessed me to put the finishing touches on it as I expanded it from the original 7 categories to 9 categories. And if you've really been listening here in the Learning Lab in terms of the overview and what it is that we discuss, we'll see that in terms of the respect that we're supposed to have for the mother and motherhood and all, and some of those questions that Quran brought up in terms of just not assuming or making assumption, you will find some of those questions under planned family, in terms of planned family. That is a category. We don't want to assume that. And then some of those questions obviously will lead to other questions. So if, in fact, that you want to obtain that, as Quran said, bring it to the lab. You want to email us, and we will send that to you so that you can actually review it yourself. And I do recommend that first and foremost you ask yourself those questions first, and all that's needed is honesty and integrity and answer those questions. And if you have a prospective mate, then we want them to do the same thing, and then the two of you come together and you would ask each other those questions. And remember, at any point in time that you are actually going over that, it could be something that could or may perhaps be a deal breaker. Could be a deal breaker. But I saw it needed and necessary, Manera and myself, that we actually needed to have a piece or a document that could be utilized by our community. And I hope that it can become a staple in all the masajids and Islamic centers, especially those in association Imam W.D. Muhammad. It would become an excellent guide for our resident imams to actually have be accessible to them, that maybe they can help in terms of even with counseling. This premarital questionnaire is very, very important, and especially when you're trying to get to know. Remember, this is courtship and marriage. So when you're trying to get to know, sometimes some of us just don't know what it is that we should ask, what it is that we may need to talk about, or we never thought about asking about these things. The courtship, so the premarital questionnaire will help us in the courtship to be able to determine whether or not it can in fact be a partnership. So I would advise you that if you haven't gotten it already, that you need to request it, and we'll make sure that you get it. And because at certain points in time, we'll be making reference to the premarital questionnaire. And this can also be utilized for those who are non-Muslims, as I have given it to non-Muslims that have called me up and asking questions. And, you know, it has been a guide for even non-Muslims. So we don't think that it's only for Muslims only. As a matter of fact, the Quran can attest that it's nothing that we have is just for Muslims only. This is what we bring is for all of humanity, as the Al-Quran is for all humanity. So with that being said, please, if you have questions or comments, we want you to press 1. And if what Quran and myself say tonight is resonating with you, we'd like to hear from you. We'd love to hear the greetings of peace from you, and whatever comments that you would like to make is welcome here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So with no further ado, go back to our very distinguished, esteemed co-host and co-facilitator, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as we go into tonight's production of Courtship and Marriage from this publication by Sister Akila Nafisa Rashid, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Molly Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect, will be on Chapter 7 tonight. So it's all yours, Grant. I know that you highlighted some things, and I know this is a very extensive chapter here, and we'll try to get through as much as we possibly can. I want to say to our radio listening audience, let me say this now, and I'll say it again. I believe it's August the 12th that our beloved brother, one of our scholarly, very learned imams, Imam Fahim Shuaib, will be with us for a short period of time on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab as a special guest facilitator, so you might want to take note of that, and we'll be giving you further information as we approach that date here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I have an Imam Fahim Shuaib, one of the forerunners in healthy male-female relationship. Okay, Quran, it's all yours.
Alhamdulillah, that's exciting to have Imam Shuaib here on August 12th. That would be wonderful, alhamdulillah. So we're moving now to Chapter 7. And Chapter 7 looks at respect for manhood. And it's entitled Respect for Manhood, Being Qawamun, Providers, Protectors, and Maintainers. So I like to begin just by saying to all of us, what makes a man a man? When we start to question that, you know, is it merely his physical physique that makes him a man? What makes a man a man? And so here, what our dear author, Sister Akila, does is she looks then at this concept that God gives us of manhood. And Allah defines manhood in Surah 4, Ayat 34, for those who want to make note of it. And in looking at this, what Allah says to us is that men are the kawamun. And she translates it as the full maintainers of women, because Allah has made one of them excel in this responsibility over the other, and because men spend out of their wealth on them. So that is Surah 4, Ayat 34. And so Allah has given men the roles of being a maintainer, being a provider, and being a protector. And that word, kawamun, as we know, means legs. So they are the legs, the thing that holds up something. Legs hold up a table. Legs hold up the body. So those legs then become the stabilizers for our relationships, for our community life. And if we look at men in that way, then we can get this understanding of what makes a man a man. Imam W.D. Muhammad has told us that man means mind. So to be a man, we need to be a thinking being. And our dear author equates this idea of being a thinking being also with the ability then to be able to use your intellect to go out and find what you need to find in order to make a living. And making a living means that you are able to provide for others. And as we get into this chapter, that provision for others is more than just providing for yourself or for your wife. Being able to provide, as she says in this chapter, start with your boys, but being able to provide for all of the women, for the community itself. And the gives this idea of appreciating and looking at manhood as being the man, being the one who provides and brings stability to the family and to the community. Then she used the example of Lady Khadija and Muhammad and their courtship. And in looking at them, she said, even though Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, well, he was Muhammad at that time, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, even though he worked for Lady Khadija, he still positioned himself to become a provider, not just for a wife, but also for her biological children, their future offspring, and the community. I think that was a great example that she gave when we can look at and examine the experiences and the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Lady Khadija, because as you know, the book is called Modeling Muhammad the Prophet. So in modeling him and his life, then we have this example of, in courtship, how they were able to manage and make decisions about him being the provider, even though she was a businesswoman making lots of money. She says, while women can receive inheritance, money, property, business, et cetera, and we know that that's possible because Lady Khadija inherited her business from her family. And so it was, she inherited from her father and then her husband who passed. And so she had money, she had a business, and she was making money. So while women can receive inheritance, the male's share is more than that of the female's share, simply because men shoulder more financial responsibility for providing financially for women in society. And I mention that because in the Quran, we are told, as we look at inheritance itself, we are told that the men get more. And so now here's reasoning for that. Because the men have this responsibility, they shoulder the community. They shoulder the family. And I think I'm going to pause there as I tell you that one of the lessons that I got just from those thoughts right there is that we have to observe the ability to provide. We have to be able to find credence in that ability for men to be providers, and that's a different look for us. You know, that's not something in our society that we do. We try to make it equal, and, you know, in some of our earlier shows this season, we talked about how you cannot compare an apple to an orange and try to make them the same. And we have to understand the roles of men and women. I think that's important for us as we delve into this chapter on manhood and the idea of the men being the providers and the maintainers. I think that's very important for us to understand the role of men and women.
Yes, alhamdulillah, that's excellent, Quran Shakir. You know, as you were speaking, you know, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, anhu, he once said that in definition is direction. In definition is direction.
Yes.
Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, he not only gives us our role, but he also gives us the responsibility that we have. And so as Karan was reading excerpts from this excellent publication in Surah An-Nisa, you know, so Allah says, Al-Rajul Kanamuna An-Nisa, you know, that the men, and these are actually, you can actually use the adjective to even personify what type of men. These are the conscious men. Being conscious of what their role and responsibility actually is, that the al-rajul, these, as Quran said, this is the legs. This is what provides the support, the foundation, for protecting and maintaining the woman, the women. And we know that even from Imam Muhammad's tafsir, that it's not just talking about only, you understand, the sacred institution of marriage. It just becomes your role and responsibility. It's true. But this is the role and responsibility of men, conscious men, being the legs, being the support, being the foundation for protecting and maintaining just women in general. And also that means also community and society. What are those associated with the feminine. So this is a role and responsibility. It's a big role, it's a big responsibility, but it also has to be and should be mentioned, it can't be overstated, that what Allah gives to us as a role and responsibility, Allah tells us in the Quran that He's given every creature its provisions. So, you know, when we think about the role and responsibility that men have that has to be respected, as we was talking last week, in what the role and responsibility that Almighty God, Allah, has given to women, He's given them the provisions. And many of those things for the woman were not tangible or physical. But nevertheless, those provisions, and we talked about some of those qualities that Allah has given the woman to be that first nurturer, that first teacher, that first leader in all. And as Allah has given her the honor and distinction of doing that and for the family, we as men don't have the wherewithal to do that. So we can see Allah has given one here something more so than the other. And now we're looking at the respect that women are to have for men and manhood in terms of shouldering manhood. You know, this actually is to come, and there should be an indication, even when we look at in terms of courtship. So when we look at the communication, if when a sister is interested in a brother in that regard, there should be some type of an example, whereas his relationship with his mother in terms of protecting and maintaining his mother or maybe his sisters or aunts or other women in the family or maybe even in the community as far as they go. There should be evident, whereas you can point to and say, wow, you know, oftentimes you can be able to get a good glimpse of who that person is if it's a woman that's looking for a potential spouse in terms of his treatment and relationship with his mother. There's a lot to be said about that. But when we're talking about looking for a potential mate, then we have to not only the communication but the observation, or even if his mother has transitioned, then in that communication, what was that relationship like? What was that relationship like? And you listen very attentively how this man expressed his thoughts and his feelings in regards to his mother in that regard. This can really provide a lot of great information in seeing this man from his thought process, but also from his emotional tie, you know, sometimes called the mystical tie in the Quran, but the emotional tie that he has to his mother, but also being conscious of his treatment of his mother, because this can be a great indicator for maybe the treatment that you will receive potentially as a future spouse. Very, very important. I just wanted to say that, and so the provisions here in Surah An-Nisa, which is the fourth chapter for those who don't read anything in terms of Arabic, Allah has given the provisions. So obviously, if the man is going to be the protector, obviously he would have to be stronger. The physique, the physicality to be able to protect her, to be able to go out and work because of what her role and responsibility in this Quran said, this shouldn't be a worry or concern for that mother that has brought the life, carried the life in pain, as Allah says in Surah 46:15, you know, and be kind to your parents. But referencing three things that we as men cannot do. We cannot carry life in pain. We can't deliver life in pain like the woman. And we most certainly cannot nurture or nurse the baby when it gets here. And for that period of time, we don't have the resources. And as Allah says, he has given everything what it is that it needs. And so because Allah didn't give us that, when he gave it to the woman, because this is going to be part of your role, this is going to be part of your responsibility, but I'm giving you something else You understand? To be able to support that woman, to support that baby, to support that family. You see? So you'll be able to go out into the world, and because of your interaction and what it is that you would have to do, you're going to be able to make the wealth, to make the money, and then you're supposed to bring the money back, and you're supposed to utilize it as Allah has instructed us to do as men. Now, I know we hear, you know, Quran, I know we hear all this song. I think it was the late Teddy Pendergrass that he's looking for a 50-50 love. Yeah, 50-50 love, so...
Yeah,
yeah. I know you're laughing, you know. So the beat might sound good, believers out there, you know, those Teddy Pendergrass lovers or what. But we got to listen to the lyrics. We got to listen to the words. And so, no, we can't accept mm-hmm. that, you know, in the way that that message or that music is a 50-50 love, because we know that the communication and information is a misinformation in terms of that 50-50 love, because at mm-hmm. any point in time in that relationship, whatever it is that is required of us, we will do that. And we'll talk about this in subsequent learning labs, but just to say, oh, it's 50-50, you know, you match me and I match you. And sometimes we hear in conversation and communication that, you know, I've heard some say, we go straight down the middle. Boom. And that's what they call love. You know, this is Western society's idea or concept of what it should be in that regard. No, we can't put Western concept or idea above what Allah has already said. Now, we may have a spouse that can and will be willing and able to help us, you understand, where we might be a little short in regards to that. But we should never forget the revelation of what Allah has revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means the prayers and the peace be upon him. And then we should strive to the best of our ability to try to live up to the role and the responsibility. And matter of fact, I would say that, you know, real men take great pride in being mm-hmm. able to perform that role and responsibility. There's a good feeling when you know that you've done your job well, your wife have a smile on her face, the children have a smile on their face, and all. And this is because, and you're pleased because you're fulfilling that role, you know, that Allah has given to us. We can't take the definition of some artist or what in terms of defining what a relationship should be and all. We get our dictates, our guidelines, our direction from the Quran. This is very, very important. And so that women will respect the role and responsibility that we as men have, and we have to respect the role and responsibility that they have. It's not the same role and responsibility. It doesn't insinuate nor does it implicate that one is superior over the other. They work together, hand in hand together, or hand in glove together, so they work together. So we have to, and when we talk about respect, you know, we started off talking about the first respect is to respect Almighty God Allah. So we have to respect His creation, His natural creation. His natural creation is revelation to us because we see that there's a difference in the physicality, which also reveals to us that we're not the same. And I think, Quran, you indicated that some time ago on the learning lab, and also we don't have to, mm-hmm. You know, be redundant there. But I think that when we look at this natural creation, it becomes obvious in terms of the role and responsibility Allah has given us, the provisions. With that, I'll stop there and want to say to our radio listening audience, this is your learning lab. we ask that you do bring it to the lab. Quran and I would love to hear from you tonight. If it's no more than just say that what you're hearing tonight is resonating with you tonight, I know we can do that. I know everybody knows the greetings of peace, Muslims and non-Muslims. We'd love to hear that. If you don't have a question or you don't have a comment, sometimes we might think we don't have anything to add to that. I can't add anything to that. After Quran get through talking, Mark Shaheed get through talking in regards to that. But, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is I've learned much from many and actually had an opportunity to be in the presence of Imam W.D. Muhammad many, many times and listening to him. And I want to just say the last words that I ever said to my beloved leader 2 weeks before he transitioned is we was in the airport there in Chicago. We was on the same flight together. And then we had a connecting flight for me back in St. Louis with another pioneer brother. When I hugged the Imam, I said to him, "Brother Imam, I love you and I appreciate all the work and things that you do for us." And he said, "Yes, and I love you and I appreciate you and all that you do. I'll see you soon. Assalamu alaikum." So this is very, very important. I'm saying this to say we never know when we have the last opportunity to let it be known our appreciation for those that we see that's working in the community. Always seize the opportunity to say that. The same I can say in regards to the relationship of my mother as she transitioned in 06 and Imam Muhammad in 08. So when we do that, you know, and I know that's something we can do, and we have to come out of that. We have to talk to each other. And so that's why bringing it to the lab is very, very important. I know people are listening, and I know sometimes there's a shyness that we may have in regards to that. But I hope and pray that we can begin to be a little bit more overt and more candid in having conversations in regards to courtship and marriage. This is something that Almighty God, Allah, has established for us in our growth and development. So, back to you, Quran. And do we have any callers
wonderful
in the queue?
Point.
Have somebody? I don't know. Do we
wonderful
have anybody
point
with their hands up?
No one has pushed their hands up. We do have people in the studio with us, but they have not put their hands
okay
up. And we do want to ask you if you are enjoying what you're hearing. You can also go ahead and text some of your friends, make a post on social media to let them know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and give them the number and tell them to join you right here in the studio also so that they can share the joy with you. And that number that you dialed to get into this studio is 714-816-4673. If you're online, join us in the studio. If you're in the studio, share the good news with some of your friends and go ahead and push one if you'd like to make a statement or a comment while we're here in the lab. And like Brother Mark said, this is your learning lab. So we're all learning together and we share in this joy and this exploration of how do we court Islamically and how do we build tranquil and successful marriages Islamically. One point that I want to make that is in this chapter as well, and that is this idea of gold diggers. And society, you talked about how Teddy Pendergrass said we're looking for a 50-50 love, but there's also this song about gold diggers too. And being a gold digger is the label that's being placed on women who want to be provided for. And this idea of being provided for, this thing, Allah has already mandated it and commanded it. And so one of the points that our author makes is that in Islam, there's no concept of women being gold diggers. Oh, I am interested in hearing from our audience, what do you think about that? No concept of women being gold diggers, because women deserve to be provided for, protected, and maintained. There is nothing wrong with a woman seeking to be protected, provided for, and maintained. So to remove that label.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing I would love for us to do, I think there's a label on men and there's a label on women. And so this conversation that we're having now, when we start
mm-hmm.
talking about getting to a space of finding comfort in courtship and comfort in marriage, then it has to be where we wash our language and our thinking of this European and this American concept of how we should all be the same, and we should create these relationships that are like that, the same. I think it's important for us to get away from that. And we have had the liberation movement of the 60s that sort of moved women away from their natural role. And so I asked the question as you were talking, Mark. I was sitting here thinking, you know, is it sexist to believe that men are the main providers and maintainers and protectors? Is that a sexist idea to have? Is that how the world sees it? And, you know, how do we wash ourselves of that concept? And if anyone has ideas, I want to hear it. Or if you have a belief that contradicts or goes along with what we just said, then share. Please push one and join us in this conversation. So this idea then that women should not be considered as gold diggers, at the same time that men, one thing that she mentions, and I want to find that, is that men who want to find a woman who will be 50-50 with him or take care of him too is still a boy or a baby looking for a mama, looking for someone to care for him. And so we want the men to be men, have legs, take a stand, and be on a different mindset. So I thought that was important also for us to mention. And I want to read from the book, page 30. She says, and let me see, who is the, she's quoting here Imam Muhammad. And she says that in the employment of a female, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Muhammad, the prophet, the experience he would need to also be the strong leader with respect in the business area or in the economic field. He gave to that pre-Islamic Jahiliya period respect for females. At least if they, the women, have money, don't take it from them. If they want to go into business, let them go into business. He put support to that and gave women the right of inheritance, which means that they will have more money. If you have more education and more money, what does that mean? More power to the people, the human family. That is what I mean by the people. And that's Imam Muhammad. He made that statement in 2003. So I wanted to share that because it concerns me, that idea of a gold digger and the idea of a man looking for a woman to be his mother.
Yes. Well, you know, and I think that these are two really points of actually the discussion. Take the latter first in terms of, you know, a man looking for a woman to be his mother. This shows the balance, you know, as we talk about it in the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, oftentimes, and as you well know, Quran, that the data will verify the fact that for even African Americans at the end of the totem pole, in terms of our children that are being born in a one-parent household, which we know that the mother is the one that's going to stick and stay. It's not going to stray away. I mean, she's going to be with that child or children from thick, when it's thick or thin, and be ready to go again. I mean, that is. That's the mindset, that's the disposition, that's the demeanor of the woman. And she didn't carry that life for almost 9 months or 9 months, you understand, just to relinquish it, to walk away from it, as if and though it didn't have any value or there's no love that's there. So, you know, we have to salute those mothers, but we have to go a little bit further because we have to be in accordance with the will and plan that Almighty God has for us. We have to see the sacred institution of marriage for what it is, its aim and purpose. It is about the growth and the development of both the man and the woman in terms of the responsibility. If we're looking for maturity, then there have to be responsibility. Show me someone that is irresponsible. I mean, it is immature, and I'll show you somebody that hasn't fully accepted responsibility. And I remember a good brother, friend of mine, very renowned author from out of Chicago by the name of Jwanza Kunjufu, who authored the book many years ago, The Conspiracy,
yes.
The
yes.
Boy Blank
yes.
Voice. And you remember that. And
I
remember
do.
In one of his lectures many, many years ago, and he made such a very profound statement. It always stayed with me, and I think it's in the book too, but I know it was in the workshop that he gave. He said that mothers, black mothers, this is his word almost verbatim, he said black mothers, they raise their daughters and they love their sons. And so when he put emphasis on it in terms of loving their sons, even to the point where they didn't have to be responsible for anything. And the nurturing went beyond the years that our males should be nurtured by their mothers. And so consequently, they were able to manipulate their mothers in terms of getting what it is that they want and everything. And the love that they showed, the compassion that they showed, but not the firmness that many males need that actually would come from their fathers, conscious fathers that understand, as we always say, the word father, if you put the R in there, the father is supposed to take the African-American male that is a boy, father, from boyhood to manhood. Mother is still the mother, but there's a point that she passes the baton to the man that is the father in all. And then he becomes really the example, those qualities and characteristics of what is a real man? What is real manhood? What does that look like? The mother can actually say to her sons, this is what real men do. But even the best of our males, you know, they may love their mothers, but it's not like they want to grow up to be like mama. They don't want to grow up and be able to say, you understand, I really emulate the things in terms of my father because I see how he was a real man and how he exemplified manhood, how he was a real husband, how he was a real father, how he exemplified fatherhood. So they don't have this example before them. So in the comfort that they have and receive in a one-parent household, now when they began to start looking for a mate, they're looking for someone to take care of them beyond the years, you understand, that a mother should be taking care of her son. They're looking for a woman just like mama to take care of me. And this is happening all the time, and we're wondering how and why this is happening. How did that mindset come about? How did that disposition come about?
Right.
You know, so we need to really, really, really look at that. And I wanted to just say to those single mothers that may be raising their children, you have to find somebody in your family, whether it's your father, which would be their grandfather. You have to find an uncle. You have to find somebody is a big brother in the family, a cousin or someone. If not in the family, then in the community. You understand? That will be a mentor. to your son. This is very, very important, beloved sisters, very important. He needs to get that, because if he doesn't get that, now you understand he is going to get a misconception and a misperception in terms of his role or responsibility. He's going to be thinking that he should be taken care of, because why? Mama took care of me. I'm 25 years old. I'm 30 years old. I'm 35 years old. I'm still in Mama's house, and she's still taking care of me. You know, like as though I was a dependent and everything. So when he looks for a potential mate, and it may not even be married, because he didn't have an example of that, but I'm looking for somebody just like my mama that's going to treat me just like Mama. You see, and then when it comes to, you know, the other thing, the issue that you brought up, very, very important, you know, I don't know, they had a word you used to call cougars or what in terms of those, you know, that, what was the word that you used in terms of women? Gold diggers. Yeah, gold diggers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Al-Islam gives us the balance, gives us the balance there, because Allah, once again, gives us instructions as to one of the responsibility of men, you know, in terms of their intentions. So that's how we differentiate between courtship and dating. You know, if the natural order of courtship will determine whether or not there can be a partnership. So when that becomes an agreement between those two, you know, then a dowry, amara, which is called dowry, is to be received. And that is for the man, you understand? This helps to, for several things, really, but two very, very important. Shows his ability, you know, his ability to be able to provide something for that potential spouse, a potential wife. It also, in terms of not only ability, but also the integrity, the sincerity, the honesty, the compatibility, all of those things in terms of I am serious, the sincerity, I am serious about this. You know, I have prepared myself for this. You know, and I remember you mentioning, you know, when we're raising our sons up, and then we should be talking to them about this sacred institution of marriage and what it is, the role and responsibility you have. So it's like you can begin to start putting money aside for that. Now, you know, in terms of gold diggers, no, we shouldn't have gold diggers. It shouldn't be Muslimas that are gold diggers. Allah gives us the balance here. Allah speaks about means. He speaks about means in terms of actually what it is that you give, even in terms of charity. But also the balance is Allah said, let the man with little means give according to his means. The man with greater means give according to his means. And so the gold digger mentality should not be there, because we have to remember, and I often say this, is that when we learn about the attributes of Allah, one of those often repeated attributes are 99, but it's more than that, because we can't put a limitation or restriction on the attributes that Allah have. But Ar-Razak, that is attribute that says that Allah is the provider. Allah is the provider. So he's the provider not only for women, but he's the provider for men to help them in their role and responsibility. He provides the opportunities and all, you know, if you're really sincere about taking on the role and responsibility. So you may be interested in a man, you know, that may not have very much in terms of means, But one of the beautiful things in terms of a relationship is it called matrimony. And I learned this from Imam Fahim Shuaib, that the word matrimony is the matrix of money. So matrimony will help you to be able to provide the money that is actually needed. That becomes an incentive, an inspiration, a motivation, if you will, to be able to earn more money. You know, men by themselves, you know, Quran, I don't think we would do very much. It was just us, and we just thinking about ourselves and self only. As a matter of fact, the word "ologist," the word selfish means thinking extra low, finding individual success hard. Thinking extra low, finding individual success hard when you selfish. But when you actually, when you have to accept responsibility, and we look at the word money, the acronym I use in many of my workshops and learning labs that I do, is making others' needs, especially yours. Making others' needs, especially yours. And that is what men have to do. When they're making others' needs, whose needs? His spouse's needs, his children's needs, family needs. And if you expand the community needs, making others' needs, especially yours, then, you understand, there it becomes a motivation, an incentive, an inspiration. How can I begin to earn more money? Because I'm making others' needs, especially yours. And the money began to come in the flow. Allah will provide you with the opportunity. And remember what Allah says in the Quran, Surah 53:39 in the Quran, that the conscious man can only get what he strives for. And Allah says in the next ayah, and soon it will be made manifest. I don't want to sound like I'm on my soapbox, but I'm feeling pretty good tonight, Quran.
You are. You're on a roll.
I'm really
glad.
Yeah, so I just want to make those points and give it back to you, Quran. And once that radio listening audience, Quran and I have not heard from you. I don't want to seem like you're watching a movie here and you're terrified or dramatized or what. We need to hear from you. There's somebody out there. I dare you to press 1. Come into the queue. Back to you, Quran.
Yes. I want to comment on something you said when you talked about single mothers raising sons and the need for them to find a mentor for their sons. I want to reiterate with the mothers, don't forget, if the father of that child is alive and available, then forge a relationship with him and let that child have a relationship with him. Too often, we have women who are mad at the fathers, and so their way of getting back at them is to deny them access to their children. And I think that is cruel to the child.
Yes.
And so if that father is alive and available and safe to be around, then allow that relationship to blossom and grow without you tainting it with your poisonous words about the father in the presence of the child, or, you know, just denying total access. We have to get away from that, because it only hurts the children when those children grow up without their father, when they could have had that opportunity. And then we're going out searching for mentors when they have someone available to them who gave birth to them. And, I think mentors are important and necessary. And I think fathers are important and necessary, and that we really have to do more to build those. You know, as a matter of fact, some of us, as you said, we choose not to be married because we have our own personal selfish interests and desires. And I think that when children are in the picture, we have to start thinking what's best for them and put all of our needs to the side, looking out for the children. because that is the future of our family and our communities and our world, really. And if we do more of that, because some of the reasons that we're not marrying some of these people that we laid down and made babies with is, you know, is minor, is vain. And so we really have to rise above that. So that was one thing that came to my mind when you said that. And definitely when you mentioned about Kunjufu, I think that's very important, because his is about the conspiracy. He said there's a conspiracy to destroy our boys. And, you know, looking at that whole idea of conspiracy, that's major. How do we contribute to the conspiracy? And so we look at manhood and men having legs and standing up. Start with them in their youth, prepping them for manhood. So, you know, when you talk about, yes, we get that dowry ready, but also our author talked about how we get them ready with that exposure to being the provider. And if those mentors are there with them, take them out and let them be, work in the community, doing things in the community, and provide right there, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 11, 12, these young ages, they should be doing this and learning what it means to be a man and grow into that manhood. And even if we teach them how to manage their funds and make investments and build wealth, because our author talks about the fact that the men, if they are to be the Kawamun and they have to be a provider, that means you have to have wealth. You have to have some income. And you talked about how we raise our daughters and love our sons. Well, one way then to love our sons is to teach them how to do what they need to do for the community and not just for themselves, so they're not going out looking for somebody to continue to love them in that way, in that sad way that we have had this pattern going on in our communities. We want to break that pattern, and we want to advance us as a people, as a community, and we can do that, and inshallah, we will do that. The other thing I wanted to mention was the idea of the cougar, as you mentioned it. And Lady Khadija, you know, I was talking to my daughters, when we love to look at the life of our prophet, peace be upon him, especially the women in his life. And so we use today's term and say, you know, Khadija was a cougar because she married a younger man. That's what a cougar is. She marries a older woman who marries a younger man. Usually, though, in today's society, when men look at older women, they're looking at the older women mainly because, you know, what she can provide for them. But if we look at the model of Muhammad and what he didn't just marry Khadija because of what she could provide for him. He fell in love with her as a being and her very essence, her taqwa, her God consciousness, her love of God. I think that's important for men to also look at. I got a notice from one of our listeners who said to me, she was concerned. She said, I don't know. It's the Courtship of Marriage Learning Lab for me as an older woman. She said, because, or is it just for the young folks? What about a seasoned folks? Because her husband died. She's a widow. And she said her husband died. And she said the Muslim men, I'm re-quoting her directly, the Muslim men so far, 55 plus, are really unhealthy physically, emotionally, and financially. She said it is so depressing trying to move forward with such a scorched patch in our community. And looking at that saddened me to think that, you know, we aren't advancing ourselves to a space where women can feel comfortable marrying the men, and this is an older woman. And so I want us to, as men, look at how do we really take on the legs and be men and be real providers for our community. Because when we talk about maintaining, that maintenance is financial, yes. And there is a maintenance that is spiritually and emotionally too.
Mm-hmm.
So when a man maintains for us and provides for us spiritually and emotionally, he has some deep thinking he has done and some deep studying he has done, such that he is able to lead us in prayer, guide us when we're feeling heartfelt things and we need someone we can talk to and count on and depend on and believe in. We
mm-hmm.
need that. And sometimes
yes.
in relationships, the men think they got to solve the problem. But sometimes that woman needs a man who's healthy enough to hear it, hear what she's saying, and then let her talk through it and reach her own resolve without him putting his ego in to try to solve it. That takes a very healthy person to do that. And that's a part of maintenance, too. Making
yeah.
sure we have safe spaces to talk to one another, safe spaces to grow together with one another. That's
mm-hmm.
being a provider, too. Providing that ear, providing that heart, providing the space to build peace in the home and in the community just from his own demeanor, his own
mm-hmm.
position. So he positions himself to be a leader. And that's a way to lead. You know,
yeah.
lead us like that. And inshallah, our growth will come. I love what you said about our Razak, Allah being the provider, and not being afraid. Trust Allah.
Mm-hmm.
He will provide. Trust him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
especially if we're teaching those young boys to be men who provide. Oh, my
mm-hmm.
goodness. It just sends chills to me,
mm-hmm.
the thought
mm-hmm.
of what we can do with that. My last comment before I turn the mic back over to you is about, I had the question, you know, and you answered it because I had a question. How does a man demonstrate his willingness and desire and ability to provide and be a maintainer? And
mm-hmm.
it's with his funds, it's with his intellect, it's with his wealth. Yes. And so I say to us, you know, you talk about the Mar, and a lot of translators translate it as dowry. But when you research the word dowry, dowry really is a word that has to do with paying for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want it to be confused.
Right.
He is not paying for her. So in Islam, the mar is really a gift to the woman.
Mm-hmm.
It is a gift to her, not to her family, because in some societies, a dowry
yeah.
is given to the family.
Yes.
But in Islam,
yeah.
it's a mar. It's a mar. So it is a gift to the woman. And
mm-hmm.
it is a gift that is given to show that I am serious, as you said. I have been planning for this, and look, I have the ability to provide, and it is according to his means. So, you know, he really has to build on that. And I say to my team right now when I'm talking to them, like, y'all talking about you want to get married, then you out here buying all these expensive shoes and things, a woman is watching you, and she wants to see what have you invested in. Don't go out here and work and work and work and then spend your money as a consumer. You need to be someone who's really making investments in building and growing your funds so that she can see you are able to provide a real bar for her, a real gift to her that shows your ability to provide and your willingness to be a provider and a maintainer. And I think that's very important for us to understand this concept of mar, because it's very different in Islam than in any other society or group or in history or anywhere. The way Islam defines the mar is very different. And so I would just say to us to use that term more and let people become familiar with that use over the word dowry, because dowry
yeah.
can be confused and become a whole other conversation.
Yes. Alhamdulillah, that's praise And thanks belongs to Allah. This excellent Quran. Yeah, we should make that distinction just as we do in terms of courtship and dating. Yeah, the mar.
Yes.
You know, some interesting things that you said. You know, one of the things in terms of the maintenance, very, very important. So Al-Islam gives us the balance. You know, so sometimes we may just think that it's only in terms of just wealth only. I recall the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the prayers and peace be upon him, gave the short list why one marries, you see, and that was one of the ones that was listed in terms of wealth and also it said beauty or looks. The third one was lineage or social status. And then finally, last one being taqwa. Oftentimes translated as piety or religion, righteousness or what, but we want to use what our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, has given to us is being God-conscious, God-conscious person. And those who at least 50 or older or 60 or older or what, like myself or what, we remember back in the day that when a man found a good woman or when a woman found a good man, one of the things that they would say, I found a good God-fearing man or a good God-fearing woman. And that's the same as being God-conscious. Or consciously regardful of God's word, his will, and his way. Another way I like to put it, which is very, very important. So when we become conscious of our role in terms of Kalamun, in terms of maintainer, oftentimes it's not talked about, but Quran, you actually hit on that. Yes, in terms of the maintenance, in terms of the security monetary-wise, but also emotionally and spiritually-wise. Please take note, in the Learning Lab, we like to use EBA, EBA. And EBA stands for Emotional Bank Account. Say that again, EBA, Emotional Bank Account. Now, most of us, you know, that have saved money, we have an account, a savings account. We love to go to the bank and deposit money into that saving. We may be saving for this, saving for that. And we don't like to necessarily make withdrawals all the time, you know. And some of us like to take our money and we like to invest it. You know, but we want to make wise investments. Wise investments because we're looking for some type of return in regards to that. So we don't want to make bad investments where we don't profit, but we lose. So EBA, so what is EBA? Emotional bank account. There becomes opportunities in terms of for men being maintainer of women to deposit positive things in her emotionally, where, you know, her emotional level is because of you being conscious enough to be regardful, to be complimentary. You know, this helps in terms of stabilizing the emotion. I think last week on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, I know there was, they used to have in these little novelty shops, when mama is happy, everybody's happy. You know, when she's in good emotions, everybody's happy. It's reflected in the home life. Well, brothers, very, very important. Always don't lie, don't ever lie, but don't miss the opportunities, you understand, to make a deposit in terms of being complimentary. let her know, you understand, that meal was, boy, that was an excellent meal. I don't know, it seemed like each time I eat your meal, this here or something particular, that it gets to be better and better and better. Boy, you look so beautiful today. I love that. Oh, you really look good. You make the dress look good. I'm not going to give you all the secrets or things that you can actually say in this. Okay, I ain't going to tell you that because I want you to use your own ingenuity and creativity, if you will. But you can't miss those opportunities when she gets to have a certain way. I mean, only you're going to be able to see it. You know, so brothers, don't miss the opportunity. I know you're laughing. That should cause some of you to press one here. And as they say, can I get a witness here? Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness, witness, witness? But you can't miss the opportunity to see that she had bought something new. And sometimes women will just test men. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to just see if he going to notice. Okay, brothers, so we got to be a lot more astute and everything. But when we give words of affirmation, you know, and that's one of the books in terms I would say that you should get. I endorse Dr. Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages. We have done a learning lab here on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab some time back on the five love languages, and one of those love languages, you know, Quran, is words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. Now, and as well as for men too, you know, but when we talk about maintain the maintenance in terms of the emotion and having emotional stability, not lying, but we oftentimes miss opportunities to be complimentary. Positive emotions are built. So then when we do have to say something, there may be constructive criticism because we have made so much and took advantage of the investment that we have placed in the EBA, the emotional bank account, is more readily received. It's more I can say about that, but also when we look at in terms of the spirituality, remember words of inanality is the reality of the spirit, and the Prophet Muhammad exemplified the right spirit as a servant. When our mates can see us in our role and responsibility, mm-hmm. and not in a bad spirit, but in a good spirit, you know, being humble in our spirit and loving in our spirit in regards to that. This helps in terms of increasing that spirituality, making it a higher spirituality that you can and only receive in the sacred institution of marriage. Now remember, it is the sacred institution of marriage that is the womb of love. And that bonding that takes place, you know, when we talk about the consummation of the relationship and even the conjugal relations, they can't be void of the emotions and the spirit that we are to have. This is very, very important. There's more I can say about that, but I just wanted to just say in terms of the maintenance and oftentimes the emotionality and the spirituality is actually overlooked because these are vital components that make up the holistic human being. And those things, you understand, are very, very important, and they have to be maintained. I'll stop there. Correct?
I love it. And that is very important, maintaining the emotions. It goes right along with it. You're absolutely right. I think when we are looking to marry, we should begin with the end in mind, as Chapman said in his book, The Seven Habits. begin with the end in mind. And that end for us, inshallah, is where we are in paradise with our mate. As the Quran mentions, that you will be in paradise with your mate. So begin with that end in mind, to get to paradise with your mate. That means that you're not just looking for somebody who's cute. You're not just looking for somebody who's well-built. That's not the only thing. So you're looking at these wonderful qualities that will allow you to build a relationship with them for years and years and years to come. Begin with the end in mind. And I wanted to go back to, I love this idea of the mar, because I wanted to talk about the bird. There is a bird called the weaver bird.
Mm-hmm.
And the weaver birds literally weave the most intricate nests that there are. And the way that it works is that the male bird comes and he builds the nest, and the female bird stands off to the side watching him. And when he's ready, he'll say, okay, I got that house ready for you. You know, this is his mar. And she comes and she jumps on it and she beats on it and pounds on it. And if it falls, he's done. She doesn't want him because he doesn't know how to provide and maintain. So she moves on to the next bird that can weave a good nest for her. I think that's a good example of how nature shows us the importance of, it wasn't the one that had the prettiest red feathers, and it wasn't the one who can fly the highest, but that one who could build a home for her. And she tested it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good example for us. She tests it before she hops in the nest. Get it? Hops in the nest. I mean, I think that is just so beautiful, the way that Allah gives us that example. The other thing I want us to think about
So, Quran, are you saying that maybe, perhaps some of us may not have bird sense? But, so, you know, I always wanted to know the name of that bird, so I got it right here on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I'll take note of that.
Yes. It's the weaver bird. And you
it's
can
a
find
weaver
it in
bird.
South
okay,
Africa.
I never
really,
cause, you know, I heard our beloved Imam Fahim Shuai talk about that, but he never did give the name of it. So maybe when he comes on in a couple of weeks, we can drop that on him, because all the times I've heard him talk about that bird, he never gave the name of the bird. He said, there's a bird that does this.
Yeah.
And tonight I get it on Courtship and Marriage by Quran Shakir. That's the weaver bird.
The weaver bird.
It's the old people
say,
I declare.
Yes. So I, you know, being here in the ATL, we have one of the most wonderful imams. Well, mashallah, may Allah be pleased with him. He was a nature lover. Imam Sheikh Ibrahim Bacha.
Yeah.
And he often did many khutbahs where he compares nature to humans and to our characteristics and to what Allah tells us. And so I got a lot of lessons on nature, and, you know, he makes me now want to go out and really observe. So, yeah, that's where I get that from the Sheikh Ibrahim Bacha.
Well, I'm looking forward to having a little fun with Imam Fahim then, you know, in terms of that bird.
Yes,
ma'am.
As we look at beginning with the end in mind, I have to take a deep breath as I say this, is that, you know, too many of us enter in marriage with the idea, if it doesn't work, I'll just get out of it. And that is not the attitude to have. We have to enter into marriage believing that this is for life. And I, you know, with a few exceptions, and we have to put that stand up there, you know, like, the only way I'll get a divorce is if he's abusive or she's abusive. Or the only way I'll get a divorce is if there is addiction or, you know, things like that. But otherwise, we have to be so committed that there is nothing that will take us away from the value of that relationship. And one of the things the statistic that we have to keep in mind, there is one divorce approximately every 36 seconds. Imagine that. One divorce every 36 seconds. So that's about 2,400 divorces per day. 2,400 per day. 16,800 per week. And 876,000 per year. And when you look at the first marriages, they say that 41% of them end in divorce. And the numbers double when it's the second or the third. So sometimes I'll say to somebody who's in a first marriage and they're ready to end it, I say, well, you know, you might end this in divorce, but you're just going to go and probably find similar things in the next relationship because you're taking you into it. So before you just want to end it, look at you and see who you are and what you contributed to the challenges. And even in selecting that person, you know, we get upset because they are who they are, but they haven't really changed who they are. We didn't really open our eyes and see who they were, or we thought we could change who they were once they were with us. You know, like, you know, we see them with somebody else and we see how they treat them, and they say, well, when they get with me, they're not going to do that because I'm a different person. I'm better or whatever. Wrong thing. So we need to look at the choices that we're making so that if you're in a first-time marriage, then you think you want to get out of it, don't think that it's going to be different just because you dip with a different person. And
yes,
you could have salvaged, really worked through sometimes those challenges in those challenging relationships. Just work through it. And that may be difficult. And to our listening audience, those in the studio, you can go ahead and push 1. If you want to comment on something we said, you want to respond to it, you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and we do want to hear from you. Think about what we said so far. We've been saying a lot of things here. If you're in the online, come on, join us in the studio. Dial 714-816-4673 to join us so that you can be a part of this conversation. We want to hear from you because this is important. And manhood, very important. It's just not something we talk about a whole lot, and we need to.
Yes. You know, Karan, something you said very, very important in terms of actually thinking that we can change someone. You know, in the courtship phase, we might like this, 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 and that, but it may be one thing that we really just don't like, and this is why honesty and integrity is very, very important, and communication is very, very important, that we have this communication with honesty and integrity. We look at the Quran and we see what Allah says. Allah says that He will never change the condition of a people. Collectively, individually, until they first change something from within themselves. Oftentimes it said in the soul has a yearning, or what? The heart is symbolic of our intentions, our motivation, our desires. And then the intellect goes to work to bring about those motivations, desires that we have. But the soul has a voice and it's always speaking to us. So we can see from the light of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, has given to us in terms of seeing change internally. It's not external. Because Allah is giving us a prerequisite for His intervention. He's not going to go against His creation. So He's given us free will. So whenever it is that we decide to change something in our intention, And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, you know, Quran has said that all matters, actions are judged by niyya, our intentions, our motivations. And actually, when we look at it, even the court systems that we have here in America, they have borrowed from this in terms of how you're penalized or what, in terms of your motivation, your intentions. So it's so very important to know and to understand when we start thinking about change that we reference the Quran in terms of that. Now, Allah can bring about changes if he so pleased, because his will pervades over everything and everybody. But he said he won't do it until, as a prerequisite, that the change happens internally. And then the conditions will actually change. And, you know, years ago, Allah blessed me to put together, you know, this acronym for the word change. It's choose to, H, have, A, N, new, G, growth, E, experience. Choose to have a new growth experience. Change is internal. Never go into a relationship thinking that you can change the other person. You know, Allah gives a prerequisite for how he can help or how he will help and assist in the change. But it's something that you must do first, you know. And this is the same thing that we have to see in the communication, honest communication with that potential mate, the willingness on their part to change, and to change for the right reason. You see, this is very important because actually the commitment in the seven of the seven C's, the last C that I have in there is commitment. But unlike Western society, commitment is the commitment that goes back to the first C, conscious of God's word, will, and way. So the ultimate goal is to be pleasing to God, because when we talk about the state of the soul, we want to get the soul to nefsen mukmaina, where the soul is at peace. The soul only becomes at peace when it is pleased and it is pleasing to its Lord and Creator. So change is an inside job. It's an inside job. And nobody on the outside should ever think that they can implement change in the person. And even if you see it, it's going to be temporary. It's not going to become permanent change. Because if, in fact, that change is not to please Almighty God Allah and recognize our relationship to Almighty God Allah, and that is of a servant to the master, then and only then do we get Allah's help and his assistance. And his help and assistance, as we see it in the Quran, Iyaka anabudu wa iyaka nasta'in. You alone do we serve, we worship, that we work for. And you alone, it is that we seek aid and assistance, help from you. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Guide us on the straight path. This is answering in the Al-Fatiha. That help, the aid, that assistance is the guidance. This is what implements the permanent change in the individual. But to think that we can do more than Almighty God Allah is unrealistic. So please, believers, don't think that in the courtship, because you like this, and that, but there's something that's disturbing your spirit in regards to that person. But I know if I get him, I could change him. I know just what he needs. Or I could change her. Oh, I know exactly what she needs. No, don't do that. You know, always put God's word, a revelation first. And God tells us, you understand, what a successful change is. And it's internal, it's not external. And we can never forego what Allah has given to all of humanity in the natural creation, which distinguishes from the rest of creation, is the free will to be able to choose. So remember that acronym, change. Choose to have a new growth experience. So that person has to choose to have a new growth experience. And no matter how much we want them, you understand, to be like this or be like that, there have to be a willingness on their part. And change began with choosing. And this is what Allah has told us in the Quran. I'll stop with that. And as we are getting closer and closer to winding down here, and Quran, I can't believe that we haven't had one caller. And we still got listeners here on IWDM Radio. I don't know how
we're
to explain.
We're going to let them... Sounds like they're
marinate
in the classroom and they're just learning so much and enjoying
learning,
it
okay.
So much that,
I hope they're taking good notes because we forgot to tell you to be up here in pad, but I'm hoping you're taking good notes because I'm thinking that when they do burst out, we'll have lined up in the queue like 10 soldiers, you know, if not asking a question, want to make a comment, or even just to be able to say, this is resonating with me. And, of course, Quran and I are always going to let you know this is your learning lab. You may not have a question. You may not even have a comment. Or sometimes you might feel as though, well, if I give a comment, I can't add anything to what Quran just said or Shahid just said, you know. But you can always give us the greetings and let us know that if you appreciate what it is that you're hearing. Now, I know we can do that, you know. So I'm just only just putting it on your mind. We love to hear from you and all because I don't particularly care to hear myself talk too much. I love just to listen and take notes from Quran. But I also would love to just hear from you all out there that's listening.
Yes,
so much. As Quran said, this is a learning lab for all of us. And it is your learning lab, and we do ask you to bring it to the lab. And if you choose not to use this venue, it makes Quran and I think, whoa, wait a minute. Or what we're saying, is it resonating? Are you really benefiting from it? Do you just tune in, just to listen in? But I ain't going to say nothing. Now, if you want to remain, I have to say this, and I haven't said it, I don't think, since I've been on here with IWDM and Quran myself, but on the sister station, I was sometimes, because I know sometimes it's very, very sensitive when you're talking about relationships, and sometimes people don't want other people to know that they're listening to courtship and marriage, and they don't want their name to be known, and they don't want people to know where they're calling from. Okay, so if that's the case, I've always said, if you want to remain anonymous, you don't even want nobody to know your name. You don't want nobody to know where you call it from. And if you're Muslim, I'm only just saying that you should give us the greetings only because Allah says it in the Quran. It's not Mark Shahid saying, you know, you should greet a Muslim, a believer, with a good greeting. And we have the obligation to give either a greater or at least one equal to the one that you give us. And just state whatever it is that you want to state. Nobody would even know that you called in if that's what you feel in terms of wanting to just remain anonymous. So I just wanted to just say that, very, very important, as I know we have listeners, and we're always inviting you that if you listen by way of the Internet to call in to 714-816-4673. And don't keep it a secret. If you got young people in your family that's reaching the age of pubescence, puberty, and all, they should be listening. They should be listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Regardless of what your status is, you know, Quran, you know, whether you got a good marriage, something you might hear tonight or subsequent learning labs that make it better. Or if you're on the fence, or you got thrown off the fence. And what is, should I get back on the fence? Whatever your status is, I just like to bring a little humor sometimes, crying. But whatever your status is, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, you can benefit from it. I'm so elated to have such a wonderful partner, very learned partner, such as Karan Shakir, to partner with me on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. This is a learning lab that's so vitally needed and necessary. Needed and necessary. It is the only time that I know that you can get a license without even having really any credentials. Everything else, you got to have some credentials. You got to have proved something. And so I like that bird that Karan introduced tonight in terms of the female actually requiring something, you understand, of the male bird, especially if he wants to be the one to mate. You know, to have a date, have the opportunity to mate, you know, and produce a family. So it just shows Allah is giving a message in the natural creation that something has to be proven. But there are other species, you know, when it says the survivor of the fittest, that have the opportunity to continue to procreate. The strongest, the best, the most fittest of them, sometimes they battle for that right, you know. And when we watch these nature shows, it's only revealing Allah is giving a message in his natural creation that it's not always just whoever comes first or what. Something has to be done. Something has to be demonstrated. That the female requires something of that male. As we talk about, you know, how we have to respect men and manhood, something has to be shown, something has to be seen. And as we talk about tomorrow, as opposed to the dowry, and looking how, you know, Western society has defined that, we have to give the proper definition. As Imam Muhammad said, in definition is direction. But if the imam was here, I would say, Brother Imam, could we also say correction? And I think he would say yes. Yes, in definition, it's not only direction, but it's also correction. Because remember, many of us, you know, Quran, we come, you know, out of this social environment. Or even though we have taken the Shahada chain, but still the effects of Western society still is operating in us in terms of our thinking that has affected our disposition and also our behavior. So, Karan, we got a couple, two or three minutes left, and I want to give you at least half of them for any closing remarks that you may have on this Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as we have explored and looked at, you know, man and manhood and how it is that a woman should have that respect for the man and manhood and the role of responsibility Almighty God has given to him. Correct.
I mean, yes. Well, I just want to say in my final comments, more so for our listening audience, that if you learned anything today, if you benefited from anything, if anything resonated with you and you didn't get the opportunity to push one, I'm going to ask you and challenge you to please go to social media, post it, one comment, one statement that really stood out for you, and tag us, bring it to the lab. Tag us so we can see your comment and we can see how you benefited from that. Also, we ask you to post for others that they should probably be listening to this program, even if they are married or not necessarily in a relationship, but seeking a relationship. Join us for this Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab every Thursday right here on IWDM Radio. Share it, please, with your community in your respective spaces. And we want to see more of you joining us so that we can all learn and grow together. If you have a question or a comment, email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Brother Mark. I turn it over to you.
Alhamdulillah. I want to say alhamdulillah. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I want to say ditto to everything it is that Quran Shakir has said. I want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in tonight, at least listening in. Quran, I hope that you've taken good notes in all, and that in the future learning labs that you'll be more of a participant because it is your learning lab. And so these outlets, you know, as she just gave you the email, the Facebook, Instagram, whereas you can contact us. And as Karan said, she's giving you, you know, she's she is an educator extraordinaire, so she's always in the mindset of giving some type of homework. So alhamdulillah. So please let us know, you understand, what stood out in your mind, and you can do that by bringing it to the lab at gmail.com and let us know what it is that stood out as you listen in. I want to remind you that you're listening in to IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which is every Thursday night with Quran Shakir and Mark Shahid here each and every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. We want to also say to you that we ask that you tune in to the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin and also Najwa Abdul-Tawab, who, inshallah, will be joining me the first Wednesday of next month. We'll be looking forward to having her on. And as we'll be on the 20th or the 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader, which is teachability. So you don't want to miss that. And inshallah, that the following week, we look at perhaps having our beloved sister Layla Muhammad, the oldest child of Imam W.D. Muhammad, as a special guest facilitator, inshallah. So, you know, stay tuned for IWDM Radio for a confirmation of that. And that's each and every Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And want to also remind you that I've extended the invitation to our beloved scholarly Imam, Imam Fahim Shoaib, for August the 12th, that he have a short period of time to be with us, but to Brother Imam, whatever time you have, that you can be a guest on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Quran, and I'd be honored to have him. So make sure you circle that on your calendar. And we want to also say that tomorrow is Latu Juma Day here on IWDM. Our beloved Imam, when I learned Imams, Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer, longtime resident Imam at Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana, will have the Salatu Juma here on IWDM Radio. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And that's each and every Friday for Salatu Juma here with Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir. Also, the longest-running production here is Words Make People, and that happens each and every Sunday, also hosted by Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir, as he always have very distinguished and esteemed guests each and every Sunday, and he always have a topic that is pertinent to us as a community. And that begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And I did forget about the MGM Roundtable, so we don't want to forget about that. And so next week we will have the director of the IWDM DNA Detroit National Annual Muslim convention. They're in Inkster, Michigan, which I plan on being a part of that. The director, Imam Munir Muhammad, will be my special guest in the first hour. And I've also confirmed my guest in the second hour will be none other than the one that said to us, Allah made me funny. And that's none other than Preacher Moss. Preacher Moss will be joining me on the MGM, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. He has confirmed that he would be with me. And some special announcements from Preacher Moss. So you don't want to miss that interview next Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. Also, I want to make sure that you tune in to our beloved sister, Fitcher Muhammad, and study Al-Islam, as we have some of the most outstanding intellects that have appeared on Study Al-Islam, including our beloved sister, Quran Shakir. So I think this week, last week, it was our beloved sister, scholarly sister, Nisa Dawan, and I believe that this week it would be Imam Dr. Wazir Ali, I believe it is. But you can always go online and type in Study Al-Islam, or you can get the Muslim Journal. Yeah, get the Muslim Journal, and you can get a rundown on all of the outstanding intellects that are participating on Study Al-Islam. Please tune in for that. You can dial 712-770-4160, and then you want to put in the access code, which is 684012. That happens each and every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And if you should happen to miss it, all you have to do is change the 0 to a 9, and the most recent host for that week will be on for the whole week until the next host would take it. They have a very intriguing topic, you know, Quran, you know, in terms of Adam, his wife, the serpent, the garden.
Yes.
So if you haven't been tuning in, this is 30 minutes, power-packed 30 minutes that Quran has been.
That's right, it is.
She has been a host on that, so she knows, you know, you only have 30 minutes, so and you have to drop it like it's hot. And most certainly they do that, and it's so much, you understand, that we need to learn in this association of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So we want to give Sister Fitcher Muhammad a plug. And we're going to be looking at, in terms of doing some PSAs and all, we're going to look at probably, inshallah, next week. I found a recording, something to end the MGM roundtable and all. I'll just keep it a surprise and all, but we're going to work on some music to kind of refine these shows as we leave out. So I want to say to you, this salam is for you and yours. And so until next time, may God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.